Hi, my name's Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are here for another day, for another podcast, and we have our episode 2 of our consult with Alicia Barrett. Mm-hmm. And welcome, Alicia. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I know that we have had a couple of email chats back and forth since our last consult. And if I'm correct, it's kind of at the point of overwhelm right now.
Yeah.
And rightly so. It's like once you start figuring out more things that you need to do and figuring out, okay, well, here are the goals that I want. Here's how I want to show up. And you start to learn more. I hate to say it like this, but it's almost like it gets a little bit worse before it gets better, but it's not worse, right? It's just more. It's just like, okay, because sometimes it's like that ignorance is a bliss. It's like, okay, I'm just like flying by the seat of my pants. Not that you were at all, Alicia. You had so much in planned and so much already going so well. But it's like, I think sometimes that's why we struggle like making those next steps, because we know we're going to make more work for ourselves initially than we're in. It's like, so, okay, I'm just going to forget this little piece over here exists for a while I focus on this. And then it's like, you get to the point where like, hey, I'm at a pretty good point on quite a few things. And how do I proceed next with the limited time that I have? Because I'm also seeing clients and I'm also trying to figure out how to grow the business as we're making the plan to grow the business. And it kind of gets like a little spirally, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. So I just am like trying to validate everyone out there who is in the spot that it can get like, can I do this? Where do I even turn next?
Right. Yeah, I'm right there. I'm in this spiral of like, okay, I made the decision to have the clients and know that I'm going to add the RVTs and, you know, like, and so now I'm in this like spiral of, oh crap, that just triggered all kinds of other tasks and all kinds of other things. You know, I had them on my radar, but it's just a matter of like flipping that switch, right? And okay, yep, we're going down that road, which then also leads us to this road, and like it all kind of intertwines. So I guess a lot has happened, as I kind of cued you guys into in the emails since our last meeting, but I made the decision to actually hire staff, and they'll be starting at the end of the month. And I'm so super anxious and excited all at the same time, and knowing that like, oh goodness, I want it to be like a good start and smooth start for them, but knowing that there's also going to be some hiccups along the way and trying to be okay with those hiccups. I think like that's probably my biggest thing, is like, I want to be okay with those hiccups, because I can be a little bit of a perfectionist. I think we all have a level of that in us. So, but the nice thing is like, I'm bringing on staff that know me as a person and that are in ABA for the long haul. Like, I've been supervising them to become BCBAs. So they're in their fieldwork time. And so I'm really excited about that piece as well. So that's an update.
That's so exciting.
Which kind of, you know, spins a lot of things in other directions.
So what would you say is like kind of your focus or your priority, or do you need help figuring out what your focus or and priority is like moving forward through these next few steps? Like, you know, now that you do have staff in line to start at the end of the month, does that trigger, like, does that switch up your priorities of like what you need help with next?
Yeah. So I think that it switched up in like my priority list of like what to do first, so to speak. But I think I have a good handle on that. It's just a matter of getting them done and having enough time to get them done. That's what I'm overwhelmed with now, because like, I have these clients that I'm providing services to while I wait for the staff to onboard. But then I also have all the prep work that I need to get done for the staff to come on board. So there's only so much time in a day to get all the things done. So I feel like my work, my work-life balance is a little off balance right now, which I wouldn't change it for the world, but definitely off balance and looking forward to getting it back on balance. And so just kind of putting that out there too, to like all of the new people, like to validate that that's okay. You're there. We'll be okay. You can work through it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's like a season, right? And it's like, that's what's going to happen. Like when you're working on a startup, we all come into it saying, okay, we don't want we don't want the end result being that our work is overrunning our life and we don't have the life part of the balance of family and, you know, fun pastimes and whatever it is, however we want to spend our lives outside of work. But there are going to be, and that's part of like almost like informed consent of not that that's really a thing, but like I think of it in the sense of like informed consent as we are like talking to other people, practitioners or that are like, oh, I think I want to start my own company. It's like, well, let me tell you some like real realities around that. And that is one of them is in the beginning, you are going to have to figure out how to, you're going to have seasons where you're working more and you're not going to have that balance that you want. So you have to make sure you have things in place to take care of yourself, is one thing. And then like that time management. And so one thing, just a quick, little tip that you might already be doing, but blocking what hours that you're willing to spend working and still having those boundaries of, okay, I get like, I really want at the end of the, like, once this is up and running, I want to end my work day at 4 o'clock so I can be with my babies in the afternoon or whatever, right? Or I can take yoga classes, whatever it is you want to do. But right now I think I'm going to have to work more. But I'm still going to end my work day at 7 o'clock or whatever, right? Like you're still have those firm boundaries so that you can, I mean, of course there are going to be days where you're just going to have to work a little bit over, but if you have those firm boundaries and expectations that you work within, that can help with that long haul of overwhelm and a burnout, and the feeling of I'm just throwing this all in the trash because you still have to take, there's still going to have, you have firm deadlines, but you're still going to have stuff that can wait till tomorrow. Right. And especially when you have that perfectionistic mind frame. Right. And so the mindset. So then the other thing is like looking when you're looking at your to-do list, this is a new thing that I've been practicing. And so I've shared with a couple people just this week, but it's like not just having a to-do list, but putting your to-do list into your calendar, like scheduling these to-do items within your calendar so that you can kind of see like throughout the week or the next 2 weeks, like how much like you can really fit in, right? So you estimate about how long these things will take and then you throw them onto your calendar and you block that time for them. And so you can really kind of see, okay, realistically, how long is it going to take me to get to the point where I can start this next step? Oh, I thought I could maybe start next week, but it might be a month from now or whatever. Right. So you have a deadline for your getting certain things done for your staff. So even looking at what has to be done before day one of them starting. And then if there's some things that you don't have time getting done before day one, what's that next step of, okay, well, I want these done by the second week of them working because that's when we're going to be starting on this next level of training or whatever, right? So those are just a couple of pieces for time management and
to try to stay grounded and not like get swept up into the tornado.
Yeah, it's so easy to get swept up into that tornado, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, totally.
April and I are so honored to have Margin Keeper sponsor this podcast.
Running an ABA business comes with its share of challenges. Managing clients, staff, insurance, the list goes on.
One thing you shouldn't add to your stress, bookkeeping. That's where Margin Keepers comes in.
They're specialists in ABA businesses, which means they understand exactly what we need.
With Margin Keepers handling your finances, you can focus on what really matters, your clients, and your practice's growth.
They're more than just bookkeepers. They're lifesavers in the financial world of ABA.
So for peace of mind and expert financial management,
turn to Margin Keepers. It's a decision that will lift a weight off of your shoulders.
Check out Margin Keepers at www.marginkeepers.com and see how they can help your business thrive.
So, well, are there any pieces on your onboarding? Do you feel like you have a good, you know, handle? Because I know one of the things is working on your processes. So what better time to work on your onboarding processes now when you're in the thick of it?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, got the background check done. Like, that was my biggest thing of like figuring out what are the payers requiring and who in the community, like what provider for background check did I want to utilize, and set that up and that workflow there. So that was a big thing. I got that completed and checked off. So all of my people have their background check and we're all good to go. So I'm excited about that. And then I have my list of like initial trainings, Medicaid
fraud, waste, and abuse.
Yes. So that I have that linked up, and cultural competency trainings. I have like a list of all these trainings and links that they can go to. Nice thing is because they're the staff that I'm hiring are either already RBTs or are in their fieldwork supervision. So I don't need to go through RBT training. They're not green. So that takes a little bit of like relief off of me. eventually I will hire green staff, but I knew that was a step that I couldn't take right here, right now. And I had access to individuals that wanted to work for me that were ready. So I was like, let's do this. So that's nice. The other piece that I still have to figure out is CPR and first aid. Luckily some are coming, but they'll coming with it, but they will expire. So I know that's something that I need to do. And so just finding that source. To be honest, because I knew I had time, I haven't even started looking at that. So I think that's a piece, that I'm a little nervous about. And then,
yeah, I don't know. Are you taking TRICARE?
I am not.
So if you're, so TRICARE has a very specific group that you have, a program you have to use, yeah. But look into like your local Red Cross and your local like fire department, places like that. Sometimes they do trainings.
The last time we did it, we used Thumbtack. So there were, certified trainers on Thumbtack in our local area, and they would come to the office and just train all of our staff in one go. It was way more cost effective that way. So that and then you just form that relationship. So the next time you need that person, they just come, they say, okay, come, well, I'll come to you. Right. And you may even get some discounts if you allow other people to come and get training there. Right. So, like April did her safety care training,
trainer training
yeah. at our office. And so she got a discount from safety care through that program.
Because
so
we allowed others
to come.
Be part of that training because they needed like space in that area.
Right.
So yeah, like that. So that might be something that you can utilize.
Okay, cool. I'll look into Thumbtack and the local like fire departments and stuff. I know sometimes the YMCAs also provide that as an option. I just don't know if any of my local YMCAs do. So
right, yeah, it depends on your area, how rural you are, if you're near a city, like all those things are going to be part of it, because it might be, if you're really rural, there might be something where you have to just eat the cost and like send your staff into town, as right. they say here. So
thankfully I'm in a city. So, so we should have something available.
And I think too, now, honestly, I don't know if they're still doing it, if it was just a COVID thing or if it was one of the things that lived outside of COVID and it started to change how they're doing it, but they had online CPR first aid training and I don't exactly know how it works, but, there could be that too.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thanks.
Cool. So it sounds like you've got the trainings. You've got mandated reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you said you have a whole list. So I'm sure it sounds like you've got all of that under control. Are there any other parts of like the paperwork or the processes in general or scheduling or client matching or anything like that?
Yeah. So client matching, I'm starting to piece that together, but I know like right now it's easy for me to do, but forward thinking, I know it's going to get more complicated. So really getting a system in place there would be beneficial. But I think that can be a project for future, not to put it off, but like to, you know, like put a future to-do date on it. The other thing that, and I think this is just me possibly overthinking, about like really training staff on the systems, right? Like the data collection systems, our scheduling systems, when and how and who to contact. And if you have any, documents, where do you store them? And like those kinds of things, I feel like I'm overwhelmed and knowing how and when to express that, because I, in my previous corporate world, it was given at the very beginning and it was very overwhelming. And then pieces got missed and then we got into bad habits and you had to like go back. And so like, I don't want to overwhelm them at the front end, but at the same time, I don't want them getting into bad habits and then having to like correct that. So like figuring out that like specific timeline.
Yeah. And part of that could be too, with this first batch of like new hires, knowing it sounds like you've already got a relationship with some of them to some capacity. And so, you know, you can even reach out to them and say, hey, you know, this is amazing. You get to come out on the ground floor. I really appreciate your feedback and really maybe this is where you start having those clarity conversations, coaching mm-hmm. conversations, like really like having that, making that time a priority to have some face time with each person one-on-one for just a few minutes on a regular basis. And, you know, saying, hey, I would love your feedback. Your feedback is important to me. You know, we are building these processes and this is new. So I understand that it might get a little bit trickier than if you are starting off with an established, you know, company. So please let me know if any questions or any concerns come up, and just really having those lines of communication open from the beginning as you're figuring these things out. And then, you know, as you're saying, like putting these processes together, like that having maybe a later, deadline date for those, keeping like either like notes on your phone or notebook or whatever is best for you. Like as these things come up, just start talking into your phone and like telling yourself the processes. Okay, this is what I did. This is how I did it. Even if you don't have time to turn it into a beautiful process at that moment, but at least you have kind of like notes recorded in your phone. You can go back and dictate or have someone else dictate for you. So that you can kind of, cause it might, even those little things that you think, oh, I'm going to remember how I did this. You're not, you might, as I think about, I don't know. Are you a parent?
I'm a parent. I have two young kids. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought so. Like, think about that, like, you know, first year of baby, right? Like you think, oh, I'm going to remember all of these little tiny milestones and this is like your business baby, right? And so you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to forget this. I'm going to remember all these little tiny pieces. And then a year later, you're going to be like, a year passed. Where am I? Who am I? What's going on? And you're not going to remember a lot of that. So finding some kind of, without adding more to your load, finding some kind of way to take notes, whether it's like just talking into your phone and just keeping it organized in your phone or having a spreadsheet, whatever works for your way of like functioning, but like keeping up with these little pieces as you're doing them, because they are going to come together.
Yeah, I think that's a good, I was playing around with like the dictation in Word and I was like, this could be helpful. But then like, I'm also kind of thinking like, okay, what if I'm working on something in Word and I'm trying like, you know, like I was just thinking of like doing the clinical things of like, okay, you got to do the assessment. You have to figure out what treatment codes you're going to use, write the BSP, you know, write the goals and all of those kinds of things. And like, I intellectually know that, but at times when I'm overwhelmed, I forget those steps and I have to go back to my like checklist or whatever. But then it's just a me personal checklist and it's not a like company checklist. So like trying to create that, like, I don't know, more detailed, specific process or forms embedded within the list, you know, to make it more systematic for someone else who's not me to do the job that eventually will be doing the job, you know, kind of thinking about that.
Yeah, totally. But you know, it's okay to start with that like baby list though, right? It's okay to get that on paper first and then add to it.
Okay.
You sound a lot. I can like relate because it's like, oh, I've got to get all the links in here and everything. And it's like the first draft has to be the final copy. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, think about like a task analysis for your kid and think about like, okay, let's say tying shoes. Okay, let me just get the main steps of tying my shoes down and I'll write it down. And then I know I used to like practice with text and I would say, pretend like you've never done this before and run through this task analysis and see if you can, cause you know, like we find ourselves making task analysis for things that we never thought we would ever make a task analysis for. Right. So like, it's like, and then you're like, oh my God, there's 5,000 steps for tying your shoes. Who would have ever thought? And then there's different ways to tie your shoes. Right. And so like, but one of the ways that I try to stay out of overwhelm and those things is like, okay, what's my first step or what are the most important steps, and then just getting those down, and then you can continue to add to those. The next time you go through a treatment plan and you pull out your main steps, then you can add like another layer of steps or just add a couple details to a couple of the steps and then just build it. Like it doesn't have to come out first draft as a final copy.
That's fair. I needed that reminder. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I also had to Yeah, it's important to have like those little reminders. I probably about 3 months ago or so, I had like this really moment of being super overwhelmed and like, what is my next step here? Like not wanting to throw, since I started this journey, I've never once thought that I'm going to throw in the towel, that it's not been a thought that crossed my mind. But I was like super overwhelmed and like, you know, I didn't know what my next steps were and I felt like everything needed to be done tomorrow. And like, and then I had to like stop and realize and remind myself, like, this is your contrived notion that everything has to be done tomorrow. No one is telling you that all of these things have to be done tomorrow. This is you doing it to yourself. So take a step back and remind yourself, no, only these certain things need to get done. And so that moment in time, although hard, was so important to me because that really changed my my tone for myself moving forward from that moment. And although like I still get into that like trap from time to time, because it's still a relatively new like thought process for me, like just thinking about that and reminding myself that it's not a company. Company's not telling me I need to do this. This is a you thing, right? And like just trying to take a step back and like recenter, reprioritize, and take it a step at a time.
Right. And that's why in the beginning, you know, I said, yes, you're going to be working more hours and you're going to have more work stuff on your plate, but still make sure that you have those firm boundaries, because you're going to need your nervous system functioning to be able to remind yourself of these. Oh yeah, this is how I think. This is my new mindset. This is how I think through this. This is how, these are my next steps. Because if you, if your nervous system is like out of whack, right, and you're like in flight or fight mode or even like freeze, right, I think that's where I tend to get in these situations. I'm just like, I'm checking out for a minute because I don't know, I'm freezing. But yes, so that you can stop and pause in these moments and like try to stay in the moment and remind yourself like, okay, this is about me. I have control of a lot of this. You know, what is my next step and how do I go from here?
And if most of what you need to do, which I assume most of it, like the onboarding, where do I find my documents? Where do I upload stuff? All of this would be using a computer or something, right? So you could even use a Zoom meeting and you're the only one in the Zoom meeting. You have, you know, your camera facing you, and then you have your share screen on, and then you do the video, and then you just say, okay, I go here, and then I go here, and then I go here. And then it will also transcribe it. So if there is sensitive data that you don't want everyone to see, you can still have the transcription of what you said. So then you can take that and put that into a step-by-step document. At least it gets you somewhere, right?
I like that. Okay, I'm going to have to try that out.
And that's what I did for my social media person, right? Like, I hate sharing on social media. It's the worst. It's one of the worst.
And then he tried to pass it to me, and I hate it too. So this is one of the worst. Validated.
Like, yep. All the social media stuff, scheduling the posts and sharing the posts, mm-hmm. and making sure they've uploaded. And then taking the transcript and then creating content on that. So all I did is I did it for the final time, hopefully. And that final time, I took a video of everything I did and all the thoughts I have as I do the things that I'm doing, and say, oh, well, this didn't work, so I tried it this way. And, oh, if you have a guest, you got to do it this way. And so I had my face recording and all my hand gestures, plus I had the screen share. So they have both of those. And, you know, then they can ask me questions after watching and doing, right? Okay, well, I did that, but now what do I do here? And then what I would do is I'd say, okay, now it's your turn to record it, right? Based on the new knowledge that I've given you through call or chat and the information that you've done on your own. Now I need you to record it and send it to me. And then, you know, they take it over, right? So, and you can add that responsibility to some of, especially if you have a tech that needs a lot of indirect time, this could potentially be some indirect time if they're doing, you know, if
but it's you can make it you can make it behavioral, yes. Because they're making a task analysis, yeah. You know, or yeah. They're like, you know, they're taking your actions and putting it into like observable, measurable, you yeah. know, yeah. things for future.
And I like, and eventually I assume you're going to have a session note audit, right? And that's again, another great place for a tech that's becoming a supervisor is get them to look at your notes and tech notes and say, I think this is good, but I have a question here. And so they're learning, you know, the nuances of what needs to be in and what doesn't need to be in it. And then let them create that task. And I'll, okay, so I do this first and then they share it with you. And then you're like, yeah, but you got to tweak it here, or you know what I mean? And so that could be very helpful. And then, you know, well, based on this, anybody with some skills can do this, right? So, and then that can kind of be helpful. Yeah.
Or even yourself, you can watch it back yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I really like that tip. I'll have to try that.
Schedule it. Schedule it in your calendar.
I'm just so on the go all the time. I'm like, oh, like I missed that moment. Okay.
I hear you.
And hopefully this isn't the case for you, but I know, like, for me, maybe 4 years ago now, maybe it's 5 years ago, but the way I would motivate myself to get things done, and it's good that you want to get everything done. Like, I don't look at that as a bad thing, right? Yeah. Like, that's way better to have that intrinsic motivation than the opposite, right? So but what do you do to yourself when you're in the middle of that, when you have 50 things on your to-do list, and are you being a complete, because that's what I would do. I was a complete a-hole to myself, right? Like, I would have a lot of toxic thoughts. There was my go-to language, why can't you do this? You're and then all the expletives that you could possibly think of. And so, like, you know, that's just something to be aware of, right? Try to be gentle with yourself. You know, I think with our son now, you know, when you get into that moment and you're really being mean to yourself, try to treat yourself like you're a little baby, right? Be gentle and kind. And that can be helpful. So like that would be my only concern, right? Is if you have a lot on your plate, try not to, and it's easier said than done. I certainly know that, but try not to torture yourself on top of having this entire list, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good reminder too. It's just like, you gotta be mindful that you're being mean to yourself and then change that behavior.
Because like when I started down this journey of being a little bit nicer to myself, like I was very concerned that, okay, if I am not so mean to myself, then how am I going to be motivated to do anything, right? I'm just going to sit around, oh, everything's great, whatever. That did not change, right? I still have a 50 million list that I want to get done. I'm still very motivated to do my work. I'm just not as big a jerk anymore. To myself and others around me. So.
Yeah, that's important. Definitely important. Yeah. So kind of like, you know, because we all have like this current here and now where we're at process of a company, right? And then you have like, what could it be in the future? Like that big time goal or that big time vision. And, you know, that has changed a little bit from here and now, like, or just like tweaking like that, the specifics of that big vision. Right. But then, like, I got approached by someone in the community to potentially do a partnership, and I don't do well with saying no. And I don't feel pressured at all. I think it could be a really big potential and positive growth. But it also makes me nervous as to, like, what that would entail on a business level, like business risk, as well as potential growth and support and access, increased access for future clients, right? Meaning like the more clients in the area would have access to treatment. Making that balance. I'm overwhelmed by that thought. Totally taking a completely different spin here, right? That's something else that's weighing on me.
Yes. When I saw that in your email, I was like, oof, right? Cause it's like, you know, like you have these hopes and you have these dreams to nurture and start this new thing, whether it's a business or some other project, right? And sometimes you feel like, it's never going to get here. I'm never going to get to the point where I'm starting it. And then you get there and you're starting it. And then it seems like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to get a little bit woo woo here, but it's like, you've like shifted the energy and the energy's here. And like now, like all these other opportunities are landing in your lap because like you're moving towards this.
Right. And more people are becoming aware. And
yes. Yeah.
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 So I just pulled up your values while you're saying that, because I was like, one thing is, so I know you want to look at it in like business savvy piece, right? But ultimately, to make this decision, you're going to have to like, or you don't have to, but it can be very helpful to look at it through the lens of your values. So just if you don't mind, we can just like do like a quick, like you just give like a gut quick answer. As I go through each value, like if it aligns with it or if it doesn't, or if it brings up anything, or this may not work for you in this position and we'll move on to some other things. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just don't know what the ultimate business agreement, like what the two businesses would look like. So I think like that's also a potential of like, oh, I don't know. It's so up in the air, right?
Totally. Well, so, and you have to also look at the ethical piece of it as well with like dual relationship and whatnot and what that would look like as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just go through these really quickly. And it also might help you to like kind of see like, cause I'm always like, oh, use your values, like to kind of see like maybe operationally, like what that might look like more. But, so plant the seed of knowledge to nurture goal-driven growth. So, would that align with that value? Nurturing goal-driven growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Be the foundational root, offering stability and security.
I definitely think it could.
Okay. Serve as the sturdy trunk, fostering strength and resilience.
Yeah.
Branch out to expand and promote growth for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Act like the protective leaves, providing shelter and wisdom.
Yeah.
And cultivate seedlings to perpetuate growth and share successes within the community.
Yeah. I mean, all of it's about growth, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's your first, that doesn't be like, okay, now I know and I have my whole plan. Right. But that's like just, that's your first line of defense, because if it didn't match with this, then that's your hot, you know, that's say, okay, I have to stop here and think for like, why doesn't it, like,
right.
You know,
how could it
and what you, but it, so you've moved on to level two, right? Okay. It matches your values. So level two would be,
yeah, I mean, I guess it's going to depend on, you know, a lot of factors, right? So is this a new entity that the two of you create together and, or are you going to kind of join forces within your group? How does that work? Or are you just going to like, is this going to be more of a referral, kind of partnership or, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So unfortunately, I don't have any real true answers to any of that. We have our first meeting in July. And I guess like, I think like this is kind of like me thinking about what do I need to be aware of when going into having this conversation? And like, what kind of potential hiccups could we have? So our initial conversation was both of us having our separate businesses, but going into an agreement of referral process and or joint services. What that looks like in workflow, I don't know, but so like we talked about potentially opening up a clinic, and he's a neurologist, the specific doctor is a neurologist, who has a really deep rooted, service and, servicing individuals who have autism. He, like, this has been a goal of his for a while as well, but he just hasn't had a contact with the BCBA. And he's like, there's no point in opening up a clinic if I don't have a BCBA, right?
Right.
And then because of his credentials, which it's been a goal of mine to add a service line for diagnostic work, right? So because of his credentials, then we could partner up together to do diagnostic work as well as services. So I think on base level, it looks like it would be a really good partnership. But then legally, financially, relationship wise, all of that, like, just makes me anxious and nervous because I don't know.
when I'm working with people that are a potential partner, like they're thinking about becoming partners, it can be done. You know, a lot of people, you go on Facebook and ask this question, a lot of people say, don't do it. Don't, it's not worth it. Like, yeah, but so the thing is, like, if values and mission statement and treating your staff, using your values and clients, right, is important to you, then I would, part of this process would be, hey, you need to come up with your values. I want to know what your values are and how they would align together. Something else that I would highly recommend, there's a group of, I think there's four BCBAs that we're working with in, I can't even remember the state, but they're working together. I said, you all need to separate and come up with your exit strategy, right? What does that look like? Because if this person's like, yeah, once it gets to this big, or I want to sell it, and you're like, no, well, hold on, that's not my goal, right? I want to work like until I'm dead, and this is my thing, and I'm always going to do this, then I don't know, that does that work, right? And will he let you buy his part, or is he going to sell it to somebody else? Is he going to want you to sell? So it's really important to come up with that so that you both are on the same page about that. You both, your values can align. And then the big thing is, okay, how does this partnership work? Is it 50-50? Somebody needs to be the majority share. So now, is he going to be okay with that? So somebody has to make decisions, right? So what if he thinks somebody should get fired and you disagree? What if he thinks that we need to invest in this certain item for the clinic and you disagree, right? What if you think that you want to expand into a different state and he disagrees? Like, these are things that you need to come up with before you join forces. Because what happens, I've seen this more on like the married couple side of things, is it's a partnership, but they never did a service agreement. And I'm gonna generalize at this point, but the wife is the BCBA and the husband is like the back end kind of person, and he has control over the bank accounts, and now how do I get access to prevent him from spending the money, and he wants me to sell it, but I don't want to sell. So like, these are just things that, well, even though you're not, you know, married, it's not like that. It's, you're still going to run into those situations. Eventually someone is going to be upset at the other person. And so you have to have that have that system in place so that the clinic still functions, even if you guys are disagreeing. And then I would also highly recommend, you know, having some kind of a, whether it's like a fractional CFO or a mentor that will mediate between the two of you as things come up, right? So it's just this third party that really isn't invested to the degree that you all are. But if anything comes up that, you know, hey, we have to talk about this, but you keep on avoiding it, and it's really important to me, you have this third party that can kind of help facilitate that constructive conversation that needs to happen. So those are just my two cents. It can be difficult, right? I know a lot of people don't like the idea of doing a partnership in this area. So it's just, those are things to be aware of. It can be successful, but you have to have these things in place before starting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely makes sense. So is a partnership the same thing as a business agreement? Because I just want to make sure I'm processing it correctly, because we would, because it would basically be like two businesses working together.
Yeah. I don't know, like, I'm not an accountant, so you definitely want to reach out to an accountant. I don't know how it would work, right? So like, there would have to be some way, because let's say you all are kind of part, you know, it's two different groups, but it's this, but you're working together. And let's say you feel like he made way more money than he's claiming he made, but you have no right to access his books, right? So that's a piece that an accountant will have to, like, are you going to have a third party independent person review each other's books? And so the area that you two are working together in and said, okay, you can have a piece of my mine and I'll have a piece of yours. And so they have access to that so that they can, you know, say, okay, well, you have to pay him a 1099 as a 1099 this much, or right. So it, like, this can look all different ways, right? So that's just something that an accountant, I think, could help with, right? So, but if it's just like, hey, I have clients, I'm going to refer them to you, you're going to refer them to me. The only issue that you may have there is, especially on the No Surprises Act, if, let's say, you're in network with certain payers, but he is not in network with those payers, then you need to inform them, hey, you know, hey, this is going to be out of network benefit. There could be a different. So having like a really clear itemized check sheet on how, like a invoice on how much it's going to cost this person to use those services, really important. And the same for him, right? If he has some clients, but you're at a network with them, then he would have to do that same thing. So it really, like, partnerships, they can be a service agreement. They could be an entity, right? Again, you form a new LLC or an S corp, and you're both partners in the S corp, right? It can look very different depending on,
Mm-hmm. Again, so overwhelming to think about the possibilities.
It is. And not to add any more overwhelm to it, but just also, on the ethical side of things with multiple relationships, I think that it's a good move that you stay two separate businesses and you're like having an agreement with each other, because sometimes in that situation where, like, if there is a diagnosing provider in the same clinic as like BCBA providers, it could cause that, like, oh, well, you are we gave you your diagnosis, we expect you, or that, like, that feeling of expectation that the client then has to be loyal and stay with you.
So yeah, you definitely need to give them an outside list of ABA practices. Say, hey, look, we right. do provide ABA services as well. You are more than welcome, and here's our wait list, or this is but here are some other providers in our area that are great. We you know, and they would be fine too.
Right. Yes. Part of like the full informed consent. Yes. And so then also making sure that this neurologist that you work with is also like that you share the ethics on your end. And I'm sure he's probably got ethics on his end that, you know, that you guys can make sure that you're driving the bus within those guidelines.
Because I don't know, like, and I don't, again, so this is like all hypothetical at this point. But I don't know what the ethics, like, what would the ethics be on, okay, you refer the clients to me and any that come to me, I'll give you a cut. You know, like, I'll give you $100 or I'll give you $50, or I don't know if that is, can you do something like that? Or is that a no-no thing?
That is a no-no thing.
That is definitely. So,
that's what I thought.
So
but yeah.
Too, like, I mean, I think that, you know, I'm looking at section one. We can dive deeper into this at another time and like really look at it. But even just looking at section one with 1.11, multiple relationships, it just looks like developing appropriate safeguards to identify and avoid conflicts of interest in compliance with the code and develop a plan to eventually resolve the multiple relationship. Like if you find yourself in that, like if, like, say you go into this and you're like, no, we don't see this ethical issue. Like we're going to do this thing. You're going to do this thing. We're staying in our own lanes. We're not getting all gray here, like in the gray area. But then you find, but in that, even going into your plan together, like if we find ourselves in this ethical gray area, like if we find ourselves getting too sticky in here, here's our plan of how we're going to get out of it. Or here's our plan of how we're going to stay, is really what it sounds like. Cause we, you know, we had a really amazing conversation with Dr. Bailey. And I don't know if those of you who had the privilege of like having him as your professor, I hear he was an amazing professor, but you know, that's kind of, he was like teaching us kind of like how to like really look into these like ethics and not take them so black and white, but see that there's like, there's some, like how to, how to interpret them, how to use them. And I, and that's kind of from the little bit I learned from the, our little time with him. That's kind of what I'm seeing here is like just making sure that you have a plan of how you're going to avoid that conflict of interest and what to do if you find yourself in that place. Right. And just staying very aware of it. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I assume that the way that this would work is that it would be you, maybe you keep your in-home business separate, but then you two become like a, again, a different entity altogether of like an S corp, where you would both be, shareholders in that S corp, and then you would decide who, you know, how much you own versus how much he owns, because you know, like who's going to pay for the lease, right? Like these would be things that you would just have to figure out. And so I'm like, again, talk to an accountant. I am not an accountant, but I assume that's really the only way that this would work. Otherwise it would be, wouldn't it be a dual relationship if you were like, we're going to work together, but not really work together, you know?
Yeah. And even like that whole thing, like, oh, I get money for the clients you pass to me. Like what's the other, how can you profit share? Is that the right word in without, an ethical way without, right, it, without being it being like a company, price tag, yes, per kid that you refer? Cause yes, then that gets gross. Yeah, yeah. Like,
so I would assume
you
that
don't
you would
go down that road.
Yeah. So I would assume that it would have to be an entity, right? Another company that you would, again, talk to an accountant. But yeah, so I mean, it certainly is exciting, right? And to see where he would, but like, I guess like if he doesn't answer these questions right, you know, then that's kind of your answer, right? Right? Like, oh yeah, well, we're not going to be able to do this. Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if that's, are we going around? Like, I don't want to give out too much, right? Obviously, but like, is that kind of where, what you're thinking? Or
yeah, I think that like, I was just looking for, or needing reassurance that yes, you're right in having these, like this anxious, like thought, or like, oh gosh, this is a lot. Right. But also just kind of like that guidance of, okay, think about this, think about that, think about this. Here are some questions or areas to have a discussion about. I think that's that will be helpful in guiding my involvement or engagement in this conversation with him. Yeah, I think it could be a good thing, but it would have to definitely be set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll go. I'll be the one that tells you it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
If at the end of the day, right now is not the right time for this, that's okay.
Yeah.
Another opportunity will come up that is, you know, and I don't mean that like, oh, that, you know, I don't mean that flippantly. Honestly, truly, I truly feel that if you're in line with your values and you're, you know, providing quality services and you have all of these, you know, policies and procedures that you're working on, like you're really wanting to build an amazing quality practice, right? And so you have the best interest of these people that you're hiring to work with you and the people that you're providing services for. Like, I know that it's going to come to you when it's the right time for you. You will have these opportunities in the future. And so if right now, if you have to say, man, this is really cool, and isn't this amazing that this opportunity is here and I can't accept it right now, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think it's hard for us, like, sometimes, like if we say no, we think that things might get easier, but really sometimes we're also gonna, like, saying no might come with some like fear of missing out or some sadness or some guilt of, oh, what I couldn't do it. I really, you know, so like that's okay too. So we're here for you to support you either way. You can't, like, seriously, like you, I have to say it, like, I don't think you could choose the wrong answer.
No.
I do. The wrong answer would be just diving in over your head and not listening to your gut, right? Like if you're like, okay, I know I should be saying no, but I just have to do this. But even then, you can back out. You can find a way out. And that's why it would be important, like Steven said, to have that exit strategy in place and know like how you're going to back out. Or even talk with this individual and say, hey, I'm flattered,
I love this idea. It's definitely something I want to do. Is there a timeline on this? Is this something we could revisit this time next year? You know?
Yeah. Or I was even thinking like a slow start, you know, like could we make a task analysis out of this?
Yes. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, okay, this is our first step of being partners. And then this is our next step of being partners and, you know, putting like action steps into it.
That's a brilliant idea. And even like deciding how much time per month do I have to put into this piece of building my business?
Yep.
And then be honest with that. Say, hey, I've got 2 hours a month I can put into working on this plan of working together, meaning this is going to be slow, but I'm in it, you know, or, you know, if you determine you have more time, that's fine too. But I think knowing like, okay, you know, am I at capacity or do I have some room here?
Right. Yeah. And even like having some individual tasks, right? Like my business has to be X profitable before I can take this initial step to partnering with you in any significant way, right? And so, like, those are things to consider, too. Because you don't want, what's the saying, rob Peter to pay Paul, right? So, like, you don't want to take the time that you would be using to create your amazing company to have it suffer so that you can benefit this partnership, right? So that's just something to be, you know.
Because that's not what I set out to do, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
That's the opposite of growth.
That wouldn't be following your mission and vision and values, right?
Yeah.
For sure not.
Yeah.
So we're coming upon our hour here. So I just want to check in with you. We covered a lot. I know there's still a lot on your plate. You know, how are you right now? And what do you need to kind of... Do you need next steps? Do you like, I don't know. What do you need next? Or if you don't know, that's fine too. If you just need time to process everything.
I need time to get things done is what I need.
Yeah.
Can we add a few hours to the day? Like that would be super nice.
So we'll do it.
No, but like, I feel like I have like more clarity now as far as like the partnership. And then, you know, as we talked about, like I as far as the onboarding stuff, I have that pretty, like, it's not nice and pretty, but it's there.
Yes. That's it. That's all you need right now.
Yes.
And then, the trainings on how to do the things. I really liked your suggestions, Stephen, on, doing the recording and Google or Zoom of you doing the task itself and teaching that way. I like that.
Yeah, no worries. And we're here to help. So, you know, if there's something that we can do to, you know, alleviate some of your stress, please let us know. And, you know, we can share best practices or create some forms for you for sure.
Thanks. I'm sure I'll reach out at some point. There's always movement over here, of course, right? That's what you want, right?
That's right.
And I mean, like, this stuff is gonna happen even 5 years in, right? Like, I'm just talking with another BCBA, and she was looking to hire one additional BCBA, and she was like, we've been looking for like 2 years or something and can't get one. And then we had six interviews, like all of a sudden, and there were three that were amazing. I'm picking them all. And so now she's bringing on twice as many staff as she currently has. And she's doing that in the next 3 months. So like these things do happen even with established business owners. So yeah, like looking at your values, making sure you're taking time for yourself, but knowing this will pass, right? It will eventually pass.
And it's a wave.
Yeah.
Just ride that wave.
Yeah. I have a vision that my wave of ridiculousness will be done by mid-July.
hopefully. But there will be another wave
there
of ridiculousness.
There will be another wave, of course.
Yeah.
It'll just be a different wave, right?
It will
you're
be a different
gonna,
wave.
Yeah, you're just going to get better at surfing.
You're going to have
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
To go with that analogy.
Yeah.
You'll learn.
Yep.
And each wave might be a little easier.
Yep.
At least you'll have the skills to, like, handle the stress of it
exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so very much, Alicia, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day.
Thanks. Same to you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.